Tasmite Vaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti. Text 23. Yata Rishikesha Kalena Devaki Kamsena Rudati Chiram Sucharpita Vimochita Hum Cha Sahatma Javipo Twayavanatena Mahur Vipad Ganat. O Rishikesh, Master of the Senses and Lord of Lords, you have released your mother Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kamsa, and me and my children, from a series of constant dangers. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Devaki, the mother of Krishna and sister of King Kamsa, was put into prison along with her husband Vasudev because the envious king was afraid of being killed by Devaki's eighth son, Krishna. He killed all the sons of Devaki who were born before Krishna, but Krishna escaped the danger of child slaughter because he was transferred to the house of Nanda Maharaj, Lord Krishna's foster father. Kunti Devi, along with her children, was also saved from a series of dangers. But Kunti Devi was shown far more favor because Lord Krishna did not save the other children of Devaki, whereas he saved the children of Kunti Devi. This was done because Devaki's husband Vasudev was living, whereas Kunti Devi was a widow, and there was none to help her except Krishna. The conclusion is that Krishna endows more favor to a devotee who is in greater dangers. Sometimes he puts his pure devotees in such dangers because in that condition of helplessness, the devotee becomes more attached to the Lord. The more the attachment is there for the Lord, the more success is there for the devotee. Yatar shikena kalena devaki kamsena rudati chiran sucharpita vimochitaham sahatmaja vipho twayavanatena mahur vipad ganat. O Rishikesh, Master of the Senses and Lord of Lords, you have released your mother Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kamsa, and me and my children, from a series of constant dangers. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nera Vishesha Shunyavari Pastityadesh Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Trilibhyas Jagripa Sindhu Vyevacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So these are the prayers of Queen Kunti in the 8th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you are familiar with these prayers, with this 8th chapter of the first canto, then you would know These are very outstanding prayers. Very wonderful prayers. And they're showing the exalted position of Queen Kunti. She is no ordinary person. She is not even, you could say, an ordinary devotee, if there is such a thing. But rather, she is very, very elevated devotee, situated in a very exalted position of pure love for Krishna. And how Lord Krishna is interacting with her and relating with her and reciprocating with her is being discussed here. Srila Prabhupada discusses in the purport very nicely how Devaki lost her children. Well, she appeared to lose 7 children. Of course, one was Baladev, Balaram, and that was different. Balaram was initially in the womb of Devaki for some period, but then was transferred to the womb of Rohini in the middle of the pregnancy or at some point during the course of the pregnancy. And then he actually appeared from Rohini, who is, of course, eternally connected with Balaram as his eternal mother. But at least the first 6 children, they were lost. They were lost. And of course, it's bad enough for a mother to lose a child due to miscarriage or due to some sort of serious problem with the pregnancy, but to lose 6, that's extremely severe. Watch out, talking about losing things, you're going to lose your camera. You don't watch out. It's going to fall off the table. Yes. Well, yes, if the camera fell off the table and was lost, that would be a loss. But how much more to lose a child? Oh my gosh. We're talking about something very, very deep and extremely devastating. So, Devaki lost 6 children, one after the other, and not just lost due to some difficulty with the pregnancy, but as soon as they were born, they were all born successfully. As soon as they were born, Kamsa came along and killed them right in front of her. What a shocking situation. It's completely inconceivable. It is really completely inconceivable. And not just one, but 6. And then the 7th was Balaram, and that appeared also to be some loss, although it wasn't really. But still it appeared that the 7th child was lost. And then Lord Krishna appeared. So of course that was very wonderful. And in one sense, more than made up for the loss of the other children. Now, so this is what happened with Devaki. Srila Prabhupada discusses this in the purport, that she lost all those children. And therefore, Krishna treated her with more mercy, you could say, more compassion. than with Kunti, or Rava. Let me refer to the purport again. Kunti was shown more mercy than Devaki. Right. This is the point that Srila Prabhupada makes in the purport. Why was that? Because Devaki, her husband, was there. At least this is how Srila Prabhupada explains it. Her husband was there. Her family situation was basically there, at least. Whereas in the case of Kunti Devi, she had lost her husband. And therefore, Lord Krishna, at least in this sense, in this type of context, Lord Krishna showed special mercy to Kunti and saved her children. Saved her children, but did not save the children of Devaki. So, yes, Kunti Devi, her husband had passed away. And she was having to deal with bringing up five children herself as a sole parent on her own, a single mother. Therefore, Krishna was kinder to her in a certain sense. And there's very nice, there's a very nice description in Nectar of Devotion where the qualities of Lord Krishna are described. And there is one quality of Krishna which is described there, one of the 64, that Krishna, the actual quality is, Krishna is very reliable. You can count on Krishna. If he says, at least to a devotee, I will do this, he will do it. And there's no question that maybe the certain circumstances will arise. It may become too difficult. And therefore he may just not be able to do it, even though he certainly liked to do it. With Krishna, such considerations don't arise. Krishna is always completely reliable for his devotee. So this is described in Nectar of Devotion. And the particular pastime, particular thing which happened, which is given as an example of Krishna's reliability, dependability, is Queen Kunti. That at the beginning of the battle, just in the day or days, whatever, before the immediately before the battle of Kurukshetra, Queen Kunti approached Lord Krishna, and Queen Kunti said, my lord, this great battle is about to take place. And of course, so many people will be killed. So many people will certainly be killed. However, my request to you, my dear Lord Krishna, is you please save my sons, the Pandavas. Please, this is my special request, that they live through the battle, and after the battle, I will have my sons. And Lord Krishna said, Tatastu. Let it be. Yes, Krishna agreed. So then the battle happened, and of course, it was a very spectacular battle. 650 million, I think, people were killed. That's a serious battle. Actually, we were just in Kurukshetra a few days ago. What was that? 6th and 7th of this month. We were in Kurukshetra, we visited that place. Jyotisa, where Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, and the whole area. And one thing you notice about the whole area is it is completely flat. It is totally flat. Like someone rolled it out. Flat. So, the great battle took place there on that great plain in Kurukshetra. And out of 650 million people, plus or minus a few hundred survived. So what are the odds? It is like, well, a bit better than one in a million. Maybe one in a 100,000 or something of that sort. Anyway, the great majority of people died, but the Pandavas did not die. Indeed, they emerged unscathed. No wounds or serious damage. They walked out as usual. So, then Srila Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami, they're giving this description. Queen Kunti then approaches Lord Krishna after and thanks Lord Krishna and notes, compliments him that, yes, you are really reliable. You are truly dependable. Because you gave your word that my sons would survive, and here they are. So thank you very, very much. And she said to Lord Krishna, you are so reliable that one day fire may become cold and snow may become hot, but your word will never change. This is what she said. It's there in Nectar of Devotion. Your word to your devotee will never change. So this is an example how Lord Krishna gave special favor, special protection to Kunti via the medium of giving special protection to her sons. Whereas, in the case of Mother Devaki, they all died. And not just died in some sort of general way that people may die in, but they were ruthlessly, viciously murdered in front of her eyes. So, what to say? How about, this is an argument, I'm being slightly light-hearted now. This is an argument for ladies not to get married. Or men, for people not to get married. Because if you have your husband to look after you, or your wife to take care of you in different ways, then, well, maybe Krishna won't be so merciful, because he'll think, oh, you're all right. You don't need me. Just a little lightheartedness. But Srila Prabhupada is explaining in basically these terms here, or at least in the general sense, that Krishna is very personal with the devotees. And Krishna deals with each devotee individually in terms of their situation and the pluses and minuses and all different factors which are there. everyone is an individual, and everyone's life and situation, etc., it's all very individual. It's all completely individual. In human society nowadays, there is the plea or the sort of like the slogan or whatever, everyone is equal. Unfortunately, this is not really very accurate. It's not very accurate. It is more just sales talk. Some sort of effort to just win the favor of people. But actually everyone's an individual. Even us sitting here today, each one of us is so much an individual. Some are at school, some are working, some are older, some are younger, some financially are in a certain situation, others are in a completely different situation, some are bigger, some are smaller, some are more intelligent, some are not as intelligent. As a person pointed out once, 50% of the population is of less than average intelligence. You follow? Because it's 50%. The average is 50. So 50% of the population is of less than average intelligence. What can you do? Otherwise everyone would get the same marks at school. Anyway, everyone is in their own particular situation, and Lord Krishna is very personal. Lord Krishna is not just one of these mass production people. Just pump them out. Just deal with them all the same. No, no, no. Lord Krishna is highly and indeed completely personal with his devotees. So in these cases here of Devaki and Kunti, surely there are other considerations also. There are other considerations also. But this is also one of the considerations. That from the material point of view, she was less protected. Kunti was less protected. Devaki was more protected. So there was some difference in dealings. And even Srila Prabhupada goes to the point at the end of the purport to say, the conclusion is that Krishna endows more favor to a devotee who is in greater dangers. We have even met some devotees who have deliberately tried to place themselves in more difficult situations so they get more mercy from Krishna. In a Krishna conscious sense, I know personally at least one or a few devotees who did things like they went to Muslim countries to preach on their own because they felt convinced that if we do this, it's dangerous. It's difficult. Plus, it's even dangerous, actually. But in this way, we will get more mercy. And one devotee told me many years ago, he went to Pakistan with another devotee. And this was his idea. He was feeling this would be the situation. And sure enough, Prabhupada shortly afterwards wrote to him and said exactly that. That by doing this, and taking the risk, making the effort and taking the risk for Krishna, you'll get more mercy from Krishna. So, it does not necessarily mean that we should now deliberately put ourselves in dangerous situations, physically dangerous situations. But the very least, the way we can apply it in our lives, is that we should make some real effort to serve Krishna and not simply be satisfied to remain within what we call our comfort zone. Do they use this term in Mauritius? Comfort zone? Yeah? Not just remain in our comfort zone, where everyone treats us nicely, everyone respects us, and we're even just physically comfortable anyway, and you know, perhaps if we try to preach to someone because they are in our circle, we start to preach to them, they immediately say, oh yes, very good. But really it helps. Krishna appreciates, and it's good for one's personal development as a devotee, if one can take a little trouble, make a little special effort for Krishna. Like, just as an example, going on the streets to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. One devotee told me, a Mauritian, I won't mention her name, many of you know her, she went out on the streets to distribute books for the first time. She didn't know what to expect. And she met some nice people, and she met some nasty people, even here in nice old Mauritius, Hindu-friendly Mauritius. She met some people who were really not nice, and after she met them, she felt like, wow, can I do this? But she did it, despite that, and distributed a lot of books. So this is very good. This is very good. And that's in Mauritius she met some nasty people. We used to distribute books in London and all around Great Britain and Ireland. And sometimes we would be arrested and locked up in jail. Did you ever get locked up in jail? Not yet? You know, for the average person, decent person, to get arrested and get locked up in jail, it's like, it's just another dimension altogether, and the wrong dimension. But yes, we would get locked up in jail for distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. I got locked up in jail. Even once I got arrested on Friday afternoon, they only let me out on Monday morning. They took away my chanting beads. They took away my neck beads. And you know what they said? They were afraid I might hang myself. Oh boy. So, anyway. And there I was, fortunately on my own, and not with the other members of the population, the prison population, in this really unpleasant little prison cell. I had to chant my rounds on my fingers, mark each round, somehow I marked it on the wall. Really? So, among other things, you are now, you are looking at a criminal. I am a criminal. But anyway, the thing is that we should make some effort. It depends on us. why we're here in Krishna consciousness, how we see ourselves, what we are looking for in Krishna consciousness. But the point here is, if we would really like to make some progress and in due course actually get some higher experience in of Krishna consciousness and really develop some love for Krishna and really start becoming transcendental to the material modes and the material world, then we need to do this, actually. We need to do this. It will help us, and among other things, it will strengthen us. Because, of course, everyone has their comfort zone, but Maya does not respect people's comfort zone. There you are in your comfort zone with your nice family who are always saying, oh, very nice, you're so nice, very good. And suddenly one of them dies. Immediately you're thrown out of your comfort zone. Then you sort of get over it. And then another one dies. Or something. Something happens. So Maya does not respect comfort zones. And the only way to deal with the difficulties that this material world does throw at us and is going to throw at each one of us without exception, the only way to really deal with these things in really like effective ways, that is Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, just trying to be strong or something, it does not really work. One of our devotees in South Africa, his wife's brother was killed in a motorbike accident. The wife is a devotee, and for many, many years a devotee, but the brother, he was sort of a hooligan, delinquent, misfit. And he was just like drunk half the time, getting into fights and getting fired from his job. And it was really a pathetic case, actually. And it was a Saturday night. He and his friend got totally drunk, etc., and various other things, and got on the motorbike, and at something like 120 or more kilometers an hour, hit something. The motorbike was broken in two pieces, and he died. And he was sort of ostensibly on the surface a Christian, quote unquote. Actually, he was just a degraded person, really. But they had a Christian funeral, and my godbrother and his wife went. And the priest said, don't worry about him. He is now with Jesus. And they all thought, what? You mean Jesus has become a drunkard? What? And it was just stupid, actually. Just so people feel better. But it's got nothing to do with reality whatsoever. And it doesn't even help the people, really. So the only thing which will help to deal with life and what to speak of to advance in Krishna consciousness and transcend the modes of material nature is if we really try to surrender to Krishna and really inspire Krishna to give us His mercy. Srila Prabhupada, we mentioned the other day, I don't know if you follow our web page, but the class was there just recently, very recently. We gave a class where we mentioned a class by Srila Prabhupada on Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. It's very interesting. From chapter 12, verse 12, or verse 13 actually, to verse 20, Lord Krishna describes different personal qualities like humility, pridelessness, and various other, a whole lot of qualities. And at the end of each verse, Krishna says, if you are like this, you'll be very dear to me. So Srila Prabhupada gives this class on the first two of the series of verses, which are mentioning various of these personal qualities. And Krishna says, if you like that, you'll be very dear to me. So Srila Prabhupada begins the class by saying, yes, this is Krishna consciousness. How will Krishna love me? How will Krishna love me? Of course, we could say, and many people would say, well, Krishna loves us already anyway. Even if we're just fallen souls in the material world, Krishna still loves us. Well, there's truth in that. But here we're talking about a higher type of love. Krishna loves even the animals and even the bacteria, the amoebas, the unicellular entities Krishna loves in a certain sense, but in this sense of a really like actual personal relationship and a relationship of having loving exchanges, a really Krishna conscious relationship, this is now a different type of love. Or at the very least a different level of love altogether. So Prabhupada raises this question, how will Krishna love me? What does it mean? It means, how will I become that sort of person? That if there's a crowd, Krishna will notice, aha, there's my devotee. There she is. And all the others, ah. He doesn't really notice them. How to become that sort of person? How will Krishna love me? How will I become such a person that Krishna will feel, I cannot live without this devotee. Therefore, I am taking this devotee back to Goloka Vrindavan to be with me. Because I cannot live without this devotee. This is what the Prabhupada's question means. How will Krishna love me? Yes, so, this is how to do it. This is really how to do it, how to progress in Krishna consciousness. And not that it means that all you ladies who are married, or any woman who's married, or just any person for that matter, that if they're the sort of person who to have a husband or a wife is really something which they sort of need, even in their lives in Krishna consciousness, doesn't mean you have to renounce immediately. Divorce your husband today. No, but in principle, in the general sense, in the broad sense, it means we should make that effort. Break free from our comfort zone, at least sometimes, and go into Krishna's zone where we make an effort to do something for Krishna despite a lack of comfort for ourselves. Krishna appreciates this. Just as we appreciate. Sometimes someone does something special for us, isn't it? Sometimes someone makes a special effort to please us. And when they do that, you feel obliged. You feel obliged. Because you see, this person obviously went to some lengths for me. They didn't have to do it, but out of their kindness and their care, caring for me, they did it. So then we naturally feel very appreciative. Krishna feels appreciative. Krishna feels appreciative. So let us try and do this. The best way, in one sense, the best way is to take up some preaching activity and try and go out and just approach the non-devotees and try and influence them, interest them in Krishna consciousness one way or another. But it doesn't even have to be that. At least one should make some real effort. I know some elderly ladies who were second initiated, very dedicated devotees. They carried on cooking offerings, at least in Radharadnath in Durban, until they practically had to be carried out of the kitchen. But they carried on because they had that feeling, that mood. They wanted to cook for Krishna, even though, you know, when you're 80 years old, nothing is easy. Even breathing is not easy. What to speak of walking upstairs and picking things up and manipulating things. But they carried on. So, this is love. Ultimately, this is love. And even if we don't really feel love, at least making an effort to please, that is something good. And Krishna appreciates that. So let us do this. Make some effort for Krishna. And He'll give His mercy. We will make progress. We will feel so much happier and stronger, and be able to deal just with life in general better. So, we will be the gainers. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question?
When we talk about intelligence, and it is said that we conditioned soul have come together with the intelligence, manic ego. Can you
say that again? We've come?
We have come together with the mind, intelligence and ego.
Okay.
Can you tell someone that he is less intelligent?
Can you?
Yeah. Because if all of us have come with the intelligence.
Less than what?
Less intelligent.
Anyway, Prabhupada used this sort of little way of expressing himself, less intelligent. Less intelligent, can you tell someone that? Well, if they're not intelligent enough to understand something, they should be able to understand. And it would really help them to understand. Then they're sort of less intelligent. It would help them to have more. But, you know, if you want to chastise them in the hope that they may then try to become more intelligent, it depends how willing they'll be to listen to you. If they're not really willing, Well, you know, Prabhupada on some occasions told people things like, in fact, I was there once in Bhaktivedanta Manor. Srila Prabhupada told this. They were not devotees. He explained how their lives, lifestyles were defective, how they were doing many things they shouldn't, which were not helping them, among other things. Then Prabhupada said, actually, you're just like cats and dogs. And they agreed, yes, you're right. Then they left. And Prabhupada said, I may be able to tell people things like that, but you may not be able to tell them that they're cats or dogs. Because many people, if you tell them, you know, that they are bad in some way, like including less intelligent, many of them, they will not be able to digest it and think, really, I should be more intelligent. You know, not being intelligent enough. I'm a danger to myself because I'm not intelligent enough. You know, some people who really accept you as an authority, they may think like that and then think, right, I've got to become more intelligent. But others are going to think, you know, how dare you speak to me like that? And it's not going to help. So if it's like that, though, you know, when I received second initiation, there was another. Prabhupada showed us how to count to 10 on our fingers in the proper way. There's a standard way. When you chant Gayatri, you chant each mantra 10 times, and you have to count in a very specific way on your fingers. Prabhupada showed me first, very quickly, and then said, now do it. I had to do it. I got it right. Hare Krishna. The next devotee came in. Prabhupada showed me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That was it. Now do it. And the devotee got it all wrong. And Prabhupada didn't say, you're less intelligent. Prabhupada just asked him, are you sure you'll be able to do this? Anyway, we shouldn't really tell people they're less intelligent unless they're going to be able to accept it and it will become an inspiration for them to try to become more intelligent. But if people don't understand things they really should, like how to count to 10, you know, it's not so hard, they may be less intelligent. And as we said, 50% of the population, or at least 49.99, are of less than average intelligence, because that's just the way it is. It's the way it must be. But, you know, materially it's their karma, how much intelligence they're given. Some are given less, some are given more. But for a devotee, if a devotee tries to do things nicely in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will give the intelligence. Even if materially the person is not very intelligent. Like, some people drop out of high school. They don't get, I don't know what it's, higher school certificate, whatever it is. The basic qualification is. But then they become devotees and they become leaders amongst the devotees. Jayadvaita Maharaj dropped out of high school for his own reasons, but he dropped out of high school. But he's one of the most intelligent devotees we have. Yeah. so. So if a devotee in a certain situation is not showing enough intelligence, then you could try and prompt them in whatever way might be suitable to be a little more intelligent. You know, if you feel they could be and should be. And then if they do make the effort, you'll see Krishna does give them the intelligence. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai. Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj ki. Jai.